The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Stuart Mandel joining us from The Athletic. Stuart, thank you. Good afternoon. And it feels like this day has been a long time coming. Your reaction as we say hello to you.
Hey, Paul. Well, yeah, it's been 18 months coming, right? I mean, if you look at the press release and the details, they look an awful lot like the proposal that Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby and Craig Thompson and Jack Swarbrick put out in June of 2021. Like, exactly the same. I don't know why, you know, it's kind of crazy, and I guess not surprising in college football that it took this long to actually put pen to paper, but it's happening. And, you know, I think one thing to keep in mind is it's going to start in the 11th year of this 12-year contract. And it was hard to really unwind that, right? So that's why you're going to see the New Year's Six Bowls as involved as they are. You know, there's some on-campus games, but I think most fans would prefer the quarterfinals be on campus too. I think that now they have to come up with what it's going to look like in 2026 and beyond, and I would not be surprised if some of the dates, locations, et cetera, look different for that than in these first 2 years.
Yeah, and again, at this point, Stuart, it doesn't matter what happened. There's a lot of egg on faces to go around, but at least everyone came around. Finally, looking ahead, the ESPN has this contract for 2 years. What are you hearing in relation to what happens next? Is this going to be an NFL model where everybody gets involved?
So for the last two, and I can't believe you're asking me this, Paul. Can you talk to your bosses? I want to know it too. For the last 2 years of the current contract, ESPN has first dibs, basically. If they want to show these extra playoff games, then they would put a proposal in. It's their first right of refusal, basically. But all of the commissioners have said that when they go back to open market for the next contract, that it'll definitely be on multiple networks. You know, Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, just did a new deal this year that is very much modeled after an NFL television package where he's got games on three different networks. I don't know if it'll be two, three, but it'll definitely be, you know, multiple networks involved. And you got to think Fox being the next biggest player in college football right now, and certainly having one of the two preeminent conferences in the Big Ten, will make an aggressive push to be involved in the playoff.
Stuart, right now, when this goes into effect, I mean, you mentioned the on-campus games. Let's go over that for those who maybe didn't see our graphics. So if I could indulge you, there are four first-round byes. How many rounds will be on campuses?
As of now, just that first round.
Okay.
An important distinction, by the way, Paul, is that the four byes are going to be reserved for conference champions. It's not just the straight-up top four teams. We could have a situation, obviously, if USC wins Friday night this year, where the top four are conference champs, but that's not always going to be the case. So those top four conference champs will have a bye, and then 5 through 8 seeds will host those on-campus games. They said for the first year, December 20th, 21st, I think in that range. Then the quarterfinals are in the regular New Year's Six Bowls. That's the part that I don't see holding up after 2025. It just doesn't make any sense. If you're Alabama, if you're Alabama and you finish sixth, you get to host a game at Bryant Denny, playoff game at Bryant Denny. How awesome will that be? If you finish, you're Alabama and you finish first, you don't. You go to the Sugar Bowl to play your first playoff game. It's kind of backward.
It is. So you were talking about an early start and a late finish. We're also talking about increased competition with the NFL. What do you think it's going to look like in terms of when are these games going to be played?
So they gave us a specific date for the first round games. It's expected the quarterfinals will be on New Year's Day or around New Year's Day. They gave zero details about the semis. From what I've been told over the last year, there's no good solution there because the NFL has every weekend in January booked solid. You're going to probably see those semis played, if I had to guess, on a Thursday and Friday night, you know, a week or more after the semifinals, and that's not ideal. So another thing I think you'll see an aggressive push going forward is basically to move the entire season up a week to week zero. What's currently week zero becomes week one. If you do that, then you can start the playoff a week earlier, and then you can have a semifinal doubleheader on New Year's Day, which is how it should be, right? January 1st is college football's day. Having those two huge games back-to-back, which unfortunately has not happened very frequently in the current system, would be great. And then you play the national championship game on Monday night. As it is going to be in 24 and 25, you know, you won't get to those semifinals till like January 10th-ish. And then they did announce the dates of the championship game. It's I believe the third Monday night in January.
So, I mean, I realize some of the bowl games are included, more than some, but for all of those early bowl games that basically keep us company during the holidays, what's going to happen to the bowl model?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, some of those lower tier bowls are owned by ESPN events and they just serve solely as TV programming. So I would think I don't think they're affected. The ones that you would worry about are kind of what you would call traditional bowls that are, you know, kind of owned independently. I'm thinking of the Sun Bowl, the Independence Bowl, the Holiday Bowl. I don't know what their future is because they're already now kind of viewed as less prestigious than they were 20 years ago. And in this new world, if a team doesn't make the playoffs, let's look at the SEC specifically. Are there, other than maybe like Vanderbilt, I don't know, you could tell me others, who is going to consider their season a big success if they don't make the playoff and be very excited to go travel to the Music City Bowl or the Texas Bowl? I just think those bowls are going to be the most negatively impacted, the middle class, if you will, not the group of five ones, but the ones where the 7 and 5 power five teams go now.
And Stuart, this may not be the best weekend to ask, considering the ACC game is clearly off Broadway. The SEC game lost some of its zest with LSU losing to A&M. So these conference championship games, which are currently valued by television networks, what's going to happen in terms of their value? I assume they keep going, but for what?
Well, I think they become much more valuable, right? I mean, like you said, the ACC one is this year. Neither of those teams has a shot at the playoff. So it's important to their fans. It's probably of curiosity to the rest of the ACC. Nobody nationally is going to care about that game. In this system, the winner of that game is going to the playoff. You know, it's the 6 highest-ranked conference champs, and I have to assume the Power 5 leagues champs will be among those 6. So to me, it really energizes conference championship weekend. Now, some people will say Alabama should rest their starters in the SEC title game because they're going to make the playoff regardless. I still think it's really important to the teams, the coaches, the players. A conference championship is still very important to them. It might not mean as much to casual fans, but I don't see a day where they're going to blow off the conference championship game. I could be totally wrong. So, I mean, that's to me one of the positives of this system is that every conference championship game pretty much has playoff implications.
Let me get a thought before you go about the playoffs. We know Michigan's going to the playoff, and we are learning this afternoon that Blake Corum is going to be out. He was certainly Michigan's All-American running back. I know he was hurt during the game, and they still were able to hold on. Hold on would be an understatement. But how big a blow is that as Michigan gets ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, big blow. No question. Now they figured out a way against Ohio State to, you know, do it without him basically. Now Donovan Edwards is a really good running back. He had those two huge touchdown runs toward the end of the Ohio State game. But basically, I think, you know, in that game, I think that Michigan just totally blindsided Ohio State with their ability to throw the ball downfield because that's not something that was not their bread and butter going into the game. Now that gig is up, if you will, it's not an element of surprise. You know, you would love to have Blake Corum run the ball 35 times against Georgia, USC, TCU, right? Whoever they end up drawing in the playoffs. So I do think it's a big loss for Michigan. But I don't think it's going to cause them to stray too far from their identity. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is always going to want to establish the run, and then, you know, build a little bit of play action off of that.
Stuart, before you go, it's certainly been a big story here. I realize around the country, eyebrows were raised, continue to be over the Hugh Freeze hiring at Auburn. How did you see it from your end of the country out west?
I don't think I realized how unpopular Hugh Freeze is until this hiring was made. I mean, obviously, we all know what happened at Ole Miss. He has since gone on to be a really successful coach at Liberty. So, you know, look, I do not condone what Hugh Freeze did, and especially that recent direct message to the sexual assault survivor. But I guess, you know, sometimes we just assume that in college football, but in the SEC in particular, all that matters is winning and losing. So, you know, here's a guy who beat Nick Saban twice in a row, had a huge impact on the SEC. You know, just from a football standpoint, he's a good coach, and I think Auburn should be excited to have him from that standpoint. But it has been interesting to see how divided the fan base is. You look at, you know, if you go look at the tweet where Auburn officially announced it and go into the replies, and I realize people might be impersonating an Auburn fan. I don't know. But there's a lot of negativity. So it'll be interesting to see how he navigates that. Like with anything, if you win football games, people seem to forget the rest. So, but it will continue to be a storyline, obviously, until he actually kind of gets going there.
Stuart Mandel with The Athletic. Always great to have Stuart as we begin with the big news of the day, and that's the CFP expansion for 24. We head to the break. A lot more to do on our show. Don't forget tomorrow, live from the SEC Championship game in Atlanta.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. As we get closer to Saturday afternoon in Atlanta, Brian Kelly saying today Jaden Daniels will play. He was hurt in the A&M game, but this is the really bad news of the day. Blake Corum, one of the top running backs in the entire country. He was a Heisman candidate until he went down. He's out for the rest of the year, and that is going to hurt Michigan's playoff chances. Ralph Russo from the AP, he's a top guy there. He'll join us next hour. Sylvester Croom, days before he goes into the College Football Hall of Fame, legendary player and coach, and Brett McMurphy. Joe is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm going to use a word that everybody's kind of nibbled around at, but as far as I know, anyone hadn't mentioned it relative to the Hugh Freeze situation, and that's the word integrity. And I think that when you look at the whole situation, I realize that people need second chances and everything, but the real issue with me would be that I'm sure his wife and hoped all that works out.
Good.
But he lied And he lied to the university, and he lied to the people, and he threw Coach Nutt under the bus. And the other part of the integrity I want to bring up is institutional integrity. I think you will remember as well as the rest of us how a president from Auburn University flew to Louisville 20 years ago to try to hire a coach. I remember the Cam Newton episode. They hired Bruce Pearl. Now they've hired Hugh Freeze. And I think I probably need to come clean about where I'm coming from. I'm a retired university administrator, 34 years. And I've interviewed everything that you could bring on campus, from food service to coaches. So I've seen all of the kind of excuses and everything, good and bad. But I would just say this. If I was in a committee trying to find the new dean of the graduate school for the university I was working at, and I discovered in the vetting that the candidate had lied to his previous employer and tried to cover it up, there would be no way I could hire him. So all I'm doing is just pointing out that I had an old mentor who used to say, when you watch people long enough or institutions, they'll tell you who they are. And I think we've seen that. Will you react to me a little bit?
Joe, yes, I will. I agree with almost everything you've said. I think Hugh Freeze has a serious integrity issue. I don't think he's overcome it. He has paid certain dues. And I think we're making way too much out of the situation with his wife. And I'm not getting into anybody's marriage but my own. But when people say that's between Hugh Freeze and his wife, that really doesn't – that just that, all that means is they've stayed together, okay? And not that I'm the doctor of marital bliss in the world, but I know a lot of miserable married couples, and I bet you do too.
That's really true.
You know, people do a lot of crazy things for a lot of reasons, and you know, Hugh Freeze sat here, looked me in the eye the other day, and said his marriage was good, and now it's great, and good for him. I'm happy for anybody to have a great marriage. But that's not really the issue here. The issue is who is he, and will he do it again? And the one problem I think a lot of people are having, except for Auburn, is that he didn't do it again, but he showed his character again when he direct messaged that young woman at Liberty a couple of times.
Correct. Well, the point that I'm coming from is the institutional integrity. There are probably 100,000, I don't know how many, Auburn diplomas out there floating around.
There are a lot.
With Auburn University on their resumes and proud degrees hanging on walls and hard work and a lot of money paid. I wonder now if some of them might be going back and looking at it and seeing if there's a little bit of tarnish they might need to see if they can polish it up a little bit.
Not only because we know him and he's been a guest of ours and a friend of ours, but the CEO of the most influential company in this country has an Auburn degree. And it's a company, you know, from where I sit, built on high standards. It wouldn't be the world's leader in what it does otherwise. But again, I guess because I've been in this for so long, I've heard so many people stand up in front of microphones and lie and mislead. And that once they get onto the football field, as long as they win, everybody is going to follow them to the championship game.
That's exactly right. Let me just say one more thing. I know you know what the word integrity means because I was present when you interviewed the chancellor of the University of Tennessee, and you used that word on how she had handled that situation. So we know what integrity looks like at the institutional level. And I just hope that everybody can get back from where they are. But I think a lot more thinking needs to be done about the value of the other side of the institution away from athletics. I know how important it is. I can tell you about hiring coaches all you want. One quick story. Basketball coach came in. He had Adolph Rupp on the resume. Wow. Well, they've been dead 15 years. Now, I asked him about it, and he said, well, he's on there because if he was alive, he would tell you how good I was. Now,
I like that. That's a good one.
Well, I thought it was pretty far out, but he did it. And I want to thank you for taking the call.
Thank you very much, Joe.
I watch every day. I'm 82, and you're my popcorn and soft drink of the afternoon.
Well, I can't tell you, Joe, what a pleasure it is to hear from you and to hear that word used on a show that talks about college football, because it is indeed a rarity. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you now.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure to hear from him on a long week. Stay in the state of Commonwealth of Kentucky. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, as a former HR executive, Joe just nailed it.
He really did.
Yeah. And you've been taking some hits this week. I mean, if I was to create a synopsis, you're a hardball-hating, woke-leaning, and loving Yankee Doodle Dandy who barks like a deaf chihuahua, right?
Those were the good days this week, yes.
Speaking of good, bad, and ugly, and let me tangent for a second. Your opening interview covered it from soup to nuts. Great interview, great questions, and I'm curious to see if the early signing date and the transfer portal window will be adjusted. Should be interesting because December is going to be a hell of a month in a few years. Yeah. So the good, bad, and ugly of the coaching carousel, I thought Tulane retaining Willie Fritz was excellent. Georgia Tech keeping Brenda Key was excellent. Matt Rhule, a rebuilder, going to Nebraska was perfect. Luke Fickell, the Midwest Big Ten guy, going to Wisconsin, perfect. And I even thought the 32-year-old Kenny Davenport, or Dillingham, I think it is, of Oregon, their offensive coordinator. That was a, you know, he'll be given a couple years because ASU is going to go through some NCAA restrictions, I'm sure. The bad, Paul, Lane Kiffin pulling or jerking the Auburn chain so he could get a $3 million raise. The other one, Deion Sanders, who I really like, but I think him coming out with the Colorado offer embarrassed himself and Colorado. And he's telling the world he's taking offers, entertaining offers right now. I feel bad for the Jackson State players. Now the ugly, and I think it's been covered, but I thought, yes, again, as an HR executive, I thought Auburn was dysfunctional in its search and hire. And I thought the best comment was that Freeze would be a perfect fit for Auburn. That's both good and bad, of course. But they had an A and B candidates, but no C and D. And I just, you know, as an HR person, I'm imagining John Cohen going to the president saying, well, we lost on Lane, but I've got Hugh Freeze. And the president asked him, does he have any issues? Well, I said, other than cheating, lying to his players, recruits, family, et cetera, he's okay, and but he did use company property to solicit prostitutes. So why are we even entertaining this guy? Well, he won SEC. He's experienced with SEC coaching, and the president would say, "Well, Tennessee and LSU didn't have SEC coaches." He says, "Well, he beat Nick Saban twice," and the president would tell him, "Well, Jimbo Fisher, hell, he beat him, and so did that Tennessee and LSU coach." And then he would say, well, he's on a redemption tour. And he would say, we're not a rehab halfway house. Finally, he would say to him, well, the Yellowwood guy told us to hire him. He says, okay, discussion done.
You know, John, which reminds me, John Cohn listed 58 reasons why.
Yeah, I know.
But the funniest thing is my question to John Cohn would be, would you have come up with Hugh Freeze on your own? Considering that you were the athletic director at Ole Miss at Mississippi State while he was misleading and conniving up the road and basically accusing Mississippi State of a lot of the allegations that he ended up paying for. And it's quite frankly hard for me to believe that John Cohen came up with Hugh Freeze. I think he was told to hire Hugh Freeze. In spite of all the reporters saying John Cohen was his own man, I don't know how that proved out.
Well, I think the president asked him, John, have you filled out the 58 important things with this guy? And he proudly said, well, no, I'm not even halfway through them. And he said, well, then don't show up to the news conference and go into federal witness protection.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are upset with Cohen for not answering questions. I think he wisely chose not to answer questions because he would have had a difficult time extemporaneously saying, yeah, Hugh Freeze was always my guy. He issued a statement saying that, but anyone can issue a statement.
Yeah, number 59 was listen to Mr. Yellowwood.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jimmy Rayne wanted one of his own guys in there, and he got somebody that he can completely manipulate. It's really that simple.
Paul, once again, that was a great opening interview. It answered all the questions I had.
Thank you very much, John. We are up against the break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. And Mel is our next caller from Florida. Good afternoon, Mel.
Hey, Paul. Happy Thursday.
Thank you.
I want to talk about your interview with Pete Thamel. But first, I got to say something about, I think it was Tommy from Alabama and Robert from Tennessee yesterday, that Tommy criticized you, said you're the reason that Alabama's not in the playoffs. Yeah,
you're right.
And never mind, they lost twice. And I mean, I love Alabama. I wish they were, but they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. And then Robert, racist Robert, says that Bryce Young is not the best quarterback that Alabama's ever had. Never mind, he won a Heisman Trophy, and no other Alabama quarterback's done that.
No.
He led the team this year at LSU and Tennessee to the go-ahead scores, and the defense let them down. So let's just forget about that. But anyway, that having been said, did you pick up on what Pete Thamel said about Hugh Freeze's pursuit of that job? Do you remember the phrase he used and the word, particular word he used?
No. Refresh my
memory.
He
said he lusted after
job. Yeah, I do remember that now.
Remember that? Well, that's the problem. That's what got him in trouble at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And he better get that monster under control or it's going to be ugly again. You know, he's got issues. He's got some character flaws, and God bless him. He deserves a second chance. He deserves redemption, but he better get that issue under control or it's going to be ugly again.
Well, and the difference, Mel, is at Ole Miss, a lot of people were challenging him and questioning him about the character of his program. But no one was assassinating the character of him because he was, he wrapped himself up in his religion and, you know, what a high moral man he was, and then he fell. Not that, you know, not that others haven't, and many will continue. But everybody's watching him this time around.
Yeah, and they're going to watch watch very closely. It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
And I suspect the people he works for are going to be watching pretty closely. So I don't think he'll repeat the same problems that he's had. I do think he has certainly dealt with that. But yeah, I'm not enough of a smart enough to understand what really was the issue, or what he has to do to get around it. He's a football coach, and I think he's capable of that. I don't think he's I don't think he's an elite football coach. I think he's good.
And I don't get that either, because you keep hearing, well, he beat Alabama twice.
Yeah, that's,
well, the second time was pretty fluky. I mean, they won, but it was pretty fluky. But you look at his record. 25 losses in 5 years at Ole Miss, that's an average 5 a year. Now, I know a couple of years he had good years, but he I think you even pointed out his record in the SEC West was not very good. So I don't get it.
No, I think, because I mean, it's not like I am not familiar with his record. It was very uneven, even during his best years.
And everybody just hangs their hat on beat Alabama twice. Well, Gus Malzahn beat Alabama, what, three times?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, in some ways, freeze, and it's not because they're good friends. I mean, they are similar type. I mean, if you had to say which coach in recent SEC history would Hugh Freeze remind you of, it would be Gus Malzahn, who was able to have big wins. I mean, I went against Georgia in 17, the three against Alabama. But he never could hold serve, and that was really one of Hugh Freeze's problems at Ole Miss.
But yet he got the job at Auburn. Is it because he was they had hoped, against all hope, that Lane Kiffin was going to take the job?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer. It's what's interesting is Hugh Freeze was a name down there before Lane Kiffin was. Lane Kiffin emerged into that position, but Hugh Freeze was really the name you heard. Couple of years ago, when the opening occurred, you heard Hugh Freeze's name when it looked like, remember, they were going to fire Harsin for character
right.
Questions. How funny is that now?
Yeah, that's ironic. But I just think it all boils down to, well, he beat Alabama twice.
Yeah, well,
2 years in a row.
Because fans understand that, Mel, and I think that narrative mushroomed and. It became part of, you know, we tend to, it's like football games on Saturday. Fans go and they watch the game, and then the games are chiseled down to 30 seconds of tape that you may see on ESPN on Sunday morning, and that's all we remember. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Talk about a name from the past. There was a time, what, 5-6 years ago, Tom Herman was the most coveted name in college football. He was the offensive coordinator for Ohio State when they did beat Alabama in 2014. He ultimately got the Texas job. He almost went to LSU once. They were announcing this afternoon that he has accepted the Florida Atlantic job. That's the job that Lane Kiffin used as a stepping stone to the SEC. Tom Herman is using it as a landing Yeah, so Willie Taggart and Lane Kiffin were there, and they used that for did Willie Taggart go there before? I can't remember if Taggart – Taggart's career is pretty bizarre, too. But Tom Herman ends up going to Florida Atlantic. We'll take a short break. We are back with much, much more on the CFP announcement today and your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back here on this busy Thursday afternoon. More on the big decision from the CFP in a few minutes. Let's talk to Jeff next in Cincinnati. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I just got a quick, maybe one or two questions. First, about this college football playoff, and I'm going to use this year as a scenario, but maybe you can answer this question because I've been trying to find it online, and I watched your interview and the question wasn't asked, but okay. I know it's the top six conference champions. True. So if Purdue were to knock off Michigan on Saturday, surely Purdue would not make the playoff.
No, they would not.
But what if there's not enough, you know, you're going to take your one probably champion.
I don't know. Yeah, it's the highest ranked six conference champion, so they may not qualify there, but they could still get in. So yeah, it's a matter of parsing words.
So could you have two group of five conference champions then instead of the five, you know, champions from the Power Five? If one of the Power Five champions isn't, you know, has like three or four losses.
Yeah, I think it's conceivable. I would need to defer. I don't know what the fine language says either.
And the thing is, too, this might all go away because I'm sure with this now, the conferences are going to probably get rid of all their divisions. So these conference championships will more than likely be the top two teams in the conference.
Yeah, 2 years from now, you won't have divisions in any conference.
Right, exactly. All right, well, that's encouraging. I wasn't thinking that somehow. And I guess then it's going to maybe become like the NCAA basketball tournament where you're going to have teams, quote-unquote, sitting on the bubble waiting for,
championship games are going to – some will matter a lot, but not for the same reasons. This weekend, LSU would be fighting desperately with a win. They would probably be able to get into the 12-team field. Georgia would be trying to hold serve. So, hey, thanks for the call. Really good question. Wish I had better answers. Gary is up next. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, your assistant, Jamari, he's pretty sharp. He vetted me pretty good before I got on. I wanted to talk about the playoffs because he had informed me already, and which was a good point, that they're automatically in when they go to the new format that they're going to be in. But mine is why I have a hard time with teams being able to get in when they get to stay home and other teams playing. And I don't understand. They have to eliminate it because it almost is like your bowl.
It hasn't happened very often. Alabama has been able to figure out a way to do it. And the reason for Alabama getting in, I think both times they did it in 17. But remember, they were the number one team. I think they were the number one team in the country when they lost. So they didn't drop very far in losing the 12th game of the year on the road at Auburn. And this year would be the one thing I would not want to see is TCU losing its championship game and then getting jumped by Ohio State that didn't play in a championship game. That would be insane.
Exactly. That is exactly it. And I almost feel like you can get players that are going to say, well, this game doesn't mean nothing to us. I'm just going to sit it out. Well, to other teams, it means a hell of a lot on how you're going to play.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is something that I really think, I don't know, it needs some improvement, I do believe. And I just wanted to say, hey, I'm glad Legend got back on and made amends. It was good for a lot of people, and especially you and your program, Bud.
Well, I'm glad he did, too, because that's the Legend I know, and I don't claim to know him as somebody I see a lot, but I do know him reasonably well, and I think he realized sometimes when you take things to absurdity and to satire, you cross the line. I've done it before, and once you get over that line, you can't come back. He did the right thing.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.